Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with moral declension as we pick up in Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
So we turn at this time to the book of Habakkuk. Very little is known concerning the personal background of Habakkuk. Very little, nothing is known. We don't know really anything about his background. There are indications from the book itself that he was of a priestly family, perhaps one of the priests in Israel. He addresses the last chapter, which is a psalm, that it might be, he addresses it to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. And that was usually the place of the priest who were, many of them just, God had called them for the purpose of providing music in the temple. And so Habakkuk could have been just one of the temple priests. The time of his prophecy is not declared, as so often at the beginning of a prophecy, the prophet will declare who prophesied during the reigns of Josiah and Jehoiakim and so forth. He doesn't tell us the time of his prophecy. But again, from the prophecy itself, from the book itself, we realize that there is a great spiritual declension and the impending invasion of Babylon. Many put the prophecy during the reign of Josiah. However, during the reign of Josiah, there was more or less a spiritual revival in Judah. After the evil, wicked reign of Manasseh, Josiah came along and instituted many spiritual reforms. The discovery again of the law of God, the instituting again of the Passover festivals, and there was a great spiritual revival under Josiah. In chapter 1, Habakkuk is complaining against the tremendous spiritual declension. And thus, probably towards the end of the reign of Josiah, and then, of course, the reign of Jehoiachin and Jehoiakim, and it is in the final period of the national deterioration prior to falling to Babylon. And, of course, Habakkuk is prophesying of Babylon's coming invasion and being used as a rod of God to punish God's people. So he begins the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And it begins with a cry unto the Lord. Now, Habakkuk had a very beautiful and close relationship with God. The word Habakkuk means embracer. And Habakkuk embraced the Lord and was embraced by the Lord. And so he begins with a prayer unto the Lord. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out unto you of the violence and you do not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to behold these grievances? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are those that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked and judgment never goes forth. For the wicked encompass the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceeds. So the complaint against God because of the deteriorating conditions of the country, the land. And it seems as though the stem of evil, or the tide of evil, is not being stemmed by God. Lord, how long will I cry to you of these things that are taking place, and you don't answer, you don't hear, you don't respond? God, there's such a horrible deterioration in the land. There is such moral corruption. There's such an overwhelming tide of evil. And the whole nation is just going down so rapidly. And God, you don't seem to be doing anything about it. We pray, we cry unto you, but it seems like evil is prevailing. And that the evil persons are prevailing. And as the result, righteous judgment no longer proceeds. The effect of the moral declension of the nation is reflected in the judicial system, so that the law is slacked and judgment does not go forth. Boy, I think of things that are going on in our own area here. I am deeply concerned for the judicial system. I was reading where this big drug bust in Newport Beach recently, where $1 million worth of cocaine was recovered from a house up in Spyglass Hill. Though they found, you know, the cocaine there and everything else, they did not have a proper reason to search them. And therefore, they've been dismissed and are now scot-free, out, you know, buying more drugs and back into their trade. Something's wrong with the judicial system that releases known criminals who have even confessed their crimes. But just because of a failure to inform them of their rights before their confession, they're allowed to go free. And there's something wrong. The law is slacked. Judgment does not go forth. And that is a mark of a declining moral state, a weakness of a nation. When a body gets so sick that it can no longer purge itself of its poisons, that body will soon die. And when we become so weak in our judicial system that we cannot purge our society of the poisons within the society, you can be sure that that society hasn't long to live. The wicked compass about the righteous. It would seem that the humanistic liberal concepts are being embraced by the majority of the people. That those who would dare to stand up for morality and righteousness and pure living are considered as archaic, Victorian, and all of the other names that they call us. And so the prophet Habakkuk sees all these things. He cries out unto the Lord, but it seems like God isn't doing anything about it. It seems like things are just getting worse. There's no change. It seems like their nation is just sliding down more rapidly all the time. And so he is distraught. He says, Lord, please, I'd just as soon you not show me anything else. And I've really gotten to that place almost myself. Someone came up this morning and said they now have X-rated radio. In several of the major cities of the United States, some radio stations have gone to what they call X-rated programming in which they use all kinds of filthy language and, you know, get into all kinds of filthy type of diatribe and stories and everything else. And it says that they are such a tremendous success and have such a large listening audience among the young people that it's about the greatest success story that's come in radio for a long time, X-rated radio. I said, oh, Lord, please don't let me know anything else. I can't take it. Lord, this whole corrupt system seems to be getting worse all the time, and you're not doing anything about it. Lord, I cried unto you, he said. How long shall I cry? And you don't seem to hear me. And so the Lord responded to Habakkuk, verse 5. And he said, behold ye among the heathen in regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. Now, the prophet was saying, God, please don't show me anything else, because the whole thing is deteriorating so rapidly and you're doing nothing about it. And God, in essence, responded, I am doing something. I am working. I'm doing a work in your day. And if it were told to you, you wouldn't believe it. The prophet more or less said, try me. And so the Lord went on. And he said, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far, and they shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. And they shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. So, the Lord said, I am working, and what I am doing is I'm gathering together the Babylonian nation, the Chaldeans, and they are going to come with their swift army, and they are going to move through the breadth of this land and conquer it and destroy the houses of these people. And so he predicts the impending invasion and victory of Babylon over Judah. But then he says, when they have conquered, then they are going to make a mistake. And they are going to attribute the fact that they've been able to conquer Judah to their God being superior to the God of Israel. Now, when God revealed his plan to Habakkuk to use the evil nation of Babylon as an instrument to bring defeat to God's people, to destroy their land, it was true. Habakkuk couldn't believe it. As God said, I am working, but if it were told to you, you wouldn't believe it. And Habakkuk answers God. And in his answer to God, he again expresses his not understanding the ways of God. He said, are you not from everlasting? Have you not always existed? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, thou hast, that is, as a nation, you know, surely we will not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. But Lord, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and you cannot look on iniquity. Very interesting verses. God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. That is, to behold it in the sense of approval. You cannot look upon iniquity with approval. Isaiah, in prophesying concerning the death of Jesus Christ, said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes ye are healed. For all we like sheep have gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own ways, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. When Jesus was there on the cross, suffering in your place, taking the judgment that was due you for your sins, as the iniquities of the world were laid upon him, the history of man, all of the evil, vile acts committed by man in his history were at that point placed upon Jesus Christ. As Habakkuk said, thou canst not look upon iniquity, and in his bearing of your iniquities, he became separated from the Father. And thus the cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But we realize that God, in his plan to show you how much he loved you, forsook his Son when he took your iniquities in order that he would not have to forsake you eternally. Oh, the mysteries and the depths of God's love that were revealed there on Calvary, as Jesus bore your sin and my sin, and as he suffered in our place and took our judgment, we feel like taking the shoes off of our feet whenever we talk about the things of the cross, because truly we are standing there on holy ground. As we consider God's great love for fallen man, for you, for me. In the psalm that Jesus was actually quoting when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 22, it goes on to say, why art thou so far from the cry of my roaring? I cry in the day season, and thou hearest not, and in the night thou art silent. But, and in verse 3, he gives the reason for being forsaken, but thou art holy, O thou who inhabits the praises of thy people Israel. Here the prophet speaks of the holiness of God. Your eyes are so pure that you cannot behold evil. You cannot look upon iniquity. O thou art holy, thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. And so the penalty and the result of sin, separation from God, was experienced by the Son, who knew no sin, but God made him to be sin for us in order that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Oh, I'll tell you, how can a person reject such a fabulous offer that God gives unto man? He takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. Oh, what a glorious thing to realize. He became what we are that we might become what he is. And so the declaration of the prophet concerning God, the purity of God, the holiness of God. Now, this brings up an interesting point, you see, because so many times we find ourselves in that position of asking God to condone our iniquity or our sin. Paul said, don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. Don't you realize that if you are using your body for immoral purposes and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, you're actually asking God to condone or to go along and to partake in your iniquity. And yet God is of purer eyes than he could behold evil. He cannot look upon iniquity. And if God forsook his only begotten Son when the iniquities of the world were laid upon him, it is sheer folly that you, if you think that you can embrace God while doing evil. If a man says he is in the light and walks in darkness, he lies and does not the truth. Be not deceived. Many people are deceived into thinking that they can embrace God and embrace evil and iniquity at the same time. Not so. Come ye apart from them, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Habakkuk on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Habakkuk 1 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
And now may the Lord help you to assimilate that which we have studied, and may he bring to your remembrance those things which he has commanded. And may you be enriched in the knowledge of God and his will and his plan for your life. May the Lord be with you, to bless you, to guide you, and may you be kept by that power of God through faith and trust in him. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you.
It is by faith that you've been walking into one level of spiritual maturity to another. Faith is the key to a successful Christian life. And that is why the Word of God tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It was faith that led Abraham into the land of promise. It was faith that led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. It was faith that enabled Peter to step out of the boat and to walk on water. The question is, what might faith do in you?
To order a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, Faith, or to preview a chapter for free online, visit thewordfortoday.org. Or call 800-272-9673.